This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013. Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kat Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kat Barbadoro.
And we have another return guest. I want to do a little intro here. Takes a second. Okay. Coming to us from in the city, visiting from Connecticut, was on the highway when we texted him. Eli is doing something cool, and we didn't think of an excuse in advance, but he's not here. Guys, please
weighing in at, I don't feel comfortable assuming,
70 pounds, 6'9", nice. Guys, Red it's Garrett. Another return guest. It's JP McDade.
Hey,
how you doing?
I'm good. I think my weight fluctuates anywhere between 70 and 210 pounds.
Okay.
But
yeah.
You guys are both right.
210. Yeah.
Around there.
I'm close to that. feeling good about that. Foot shorter. How you guys doing? How's everybody doing?
Excellent.
Good
I'm Sunday. Good. I saw two, when I was walking in, or kind of a couple blocks away, I saw an older gentleman here on the Upper West Side walking two fat, overweight Dachshunds, and I'm still riding that high.
Right now. Saw them too.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah.
You must have been right behind
me.
Yeah,
this guy's doing a real tour of the city. So that's always a treat for me, really. You know, it's just like I respect them. Just want to give them a little salute. Say thanks.
Best of luck to the Dachshunds.
Yeah, I don't want to. Don't acknowledge me, owner. All right, I'm looking at the dogs. I want to talk to you
for sure. Yeah, don't. If I'm not making eye contact with you, it's because I'm not interested in whatever you
want. The dogs actually own the apartment on the Upper West Side. That's their human that they take out
I'm
for a while.
I'm trying to take a picture of your dogs, man. Please don't bother me. Please hold
this.
This
doesn't involve you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, this does not concern you whatsoever.
I'm trying to create some content here.
I do feel like that's one of the upsides, because we now record again by Stand Up New York on the Upper West Side. Please don't come murder us. But there's like a lot of good.
We recorded Trump Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about where we get our money from. It's fine. There are just like a lot of really good dog sightings up here. A lot of purebred genetic atrocities created by humans to be cute.
Yeah.
You ever see those like a Great Dane being walked in the city and just extrapolate it and wonder how big that apartment is?
Yeah, you know, it's such enormous. A power move.
Or how miserable is this dog?
Yeah.
This dog is like, well, this sucks. Just put me in the crate. What's the matter?
You the know, dog I'm is already like in a little crate. Shower bending its head yeah, so right. It can get under the stream.
That's how I feel when I see someone as tall as you, JP.
Thank
I'm just
you.
Like... It takes.
How does he do it?
How does he live in this expensive city? You have to like. You have to have a lot of space. You have to consume a lot.
Oh man, there are only certain parts of the subway where you can stand up comfortably.
Exactly.
Over your head.
People mistake you for one of the poles and hold on to you. It's like, oh, it's just a very thin man. It's a thin man.
Enough of the pole jokes. Okay? Polux.
Oh no.
Here we go.
The other thing I like about being up here is. You see celebrity sightings that are very fitting. Like the best one,
I was not, and I think about it every time I see this man in a show or something.
Yeah, so we saw a guy, Elon and I were walking out one after a recorder. This would have been a while ago now. And it was like, is that Bob Balaban or just a stereotypical Upper West Side guy who looks like Bob Balaban?
Bob Balaban.
And it was Bob Balaban. I'm 99% sure it was Bob Balaban.
This is the most Bob Balaban neighborhood in
That's
the
right.
city. This is the Bob... We record in the Bob Balaban district.
That's Bob Balaban Tower is actually what we do.
Balaban is an acronym for this neighborhood.
Yeah. It's a very long acrostic.
Before Balaban. And lower behind age. I don't know. I lost it halfway
it's
through.
It's just fun to say.
Bob I had Balaban. One of those like ambiguous celebrity sightings where I wasn't sure if it was them and it with Peter Dinklage, and I saw Peter who I thought was Peter Dinklage, and then I got up closer and it turns out it was him, and he
okay.
was yelling at a guy for taking a picture of him on the sidewalk. So
I feel like that's a
big relief to
hey everybody, so we had a little bit of a gap there.
We've taken about a half hour break.
Yeah,
shit has hit the fan.
There's some kind of scheduling conflict, and we had the possibly the most
the most damaging and humbling thing to happen to three stand-up comics is to get moved out of something we were working on by an improv show. So devastating stuff.
Yeah. Very grim.
Gonna be thinking about this for a while.
Our careers are ruined. We're in the gutter.
Laying in bed tonight, just like, well. Anyway, we're back. We were talking about Peter Dinklage.
I do want to just, so this improv, so there's an improv show happening in the studio where we normally record. We were accidentally double booked, I guess. And we were all bummed out and we like come to this other studio. Shelby, thank you so much. Shelby like set everything up again. It all worked out, but we could see the people entering to go to the improv show.
Stupid idiot named Amy Poehler or something. What are their
some names? Asshole.
Yeah. Horatio Sant, like these.
Who's
who are these
Horatio?
People?
Come on.
Who are these jabronis? Come on.
But they're like there were maybe five people that walked in there and. They're all old. They're all old.
We're starting a feud right now.
The first one came in with a fedora on. Like, it's really adding insult to injury to have to look at them.
I hope they're not in there like, oh, I feel so bad that we displaced the podcast. Maybe we should listen to an episode.
Yeah, right.
No, they don't feel bad.
They don't feel
bad. It's okay. Being in an improv team that's not like a house team somewhere, it requires like even a higher level of delusion than doing stand-up because you have a group of people that are all keeping this thing afloat, this like dream afloat. So they're fine. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
Best of luck to the improv
team. That's right. See, he's got it. He's funny. Yeah. McDade slides right in to the, McDade, baby. To the best of luck.
They're actually an animal improv troupe, so they fit in. They're very thematic with the show.
All of their sketches are about an animal getting loose somewhere.
Yeah.
And becoming mayor.
Yeah.
That's an improv show I'd watch. Like somebody who's pretending to be like a cow that's loose or a pig. Just like,
and they run through the audience.
Take these Oreos. Yeah. Hey, we got these Penelope. We got these Oreos. Or was it Penelope? It was Penelope.
I think that was Penelope. Yeah.
They have a coach who's like, your baying needs work.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to tell you.
This baying of a hog.
I do think it would be really funny to do like a. Like the premise is that it's a sketch group. Or no, the premise is that it's an improv group doing the show, but you plan it out ahead of time and all of the scenes are just the same scenario over and over again.
Yeah.
And just see how quickly it takes people to catch on.
Did I hear DMV again?
It's just every
what
single
the hell?
One, same. I think that would be really funny.
They have a psychotic break, like completely meltdown.
It's okay. We need another location. It's like, I'm hearing DMV again. No, hell. I said hell.
I'm the only one here.
Or like, it starts with the suggestion that the person gives, but then it always goes back to the exact same scenario.
Right. I'm surprised
like, there's
not
a pig
more
loose
fraud.
In hell. Improv fraud?
Yeah, just like pre-staged improv
This isn't improvised.
Yeah. I feel
this
like
is
they're...
only partially improvised. I think those are the tricks they teach you in UCB.
Yeah.
I've never taken a class.
It's like
they I think they agree on things ahead of time.
It's like the highest
they can
level
fall
of Scientology when you get to like UCB 401. They teach you the real things.
Yeah, once you're on the bridge.
I do think that is like I don't know. Have you guys ever taken improv?
I've done it four or five times. It's fun.
I can't take it.
Yeah. It is fun. I do think that is something that like it is kind of allowed in improv. Not planning it out ahead of time, but like
if you have
a funny idea in practice and then you start executing that idea, like that's allowed.
You find a place for it and it works out.
I don't have the right personality type for it because I the second something starts like going poorly, I would be so one foot out the door, like backing away from the premise, not staying committed.
You bail immediately.
Like, I don't know what these guys are doing. Right? I'm trying to get my own laughs, like, my own side little
Everything
action.
That's going on in this scene reminds me of my wife.
Yeah. Like, you believe these guys? Like, what are you doing right now, man? It's like, I broke the fourth wall to protect myself.
I tried out for an improv troupe in college, like, before I even did comedy. Because I knew I wanted to do comedy, and there was, like, nothing to do at my school except be on the improv troupe. And I tried out, and, like, when I think back about that tryout, it's like, I just started doing stand-up.
Yes.
Like, I just, like, I remember because, like, in the scene that we were doing for, like, my tryout, like
Kat is like there's two kinds of black people.
Just immediately no like the other guy
whoa,
brought up
whoa.
The other guy brought up Thomas Kincaid like as like a bit and the so I think I just started doing like bits about Thomas Kincaid like facing the audience.
You're tapping somebody in the back like and you're just like so what else did I want to talk about you got single dating it's like hang on you can't all right just shoehorning your act into other situations. It's like I like the idea of like doing karaoke but just like picking like a quiet song and then just like doing your act like while everyone has to listen to you.
You bring up your
it's counts of stage time.
Yeah. I feel like I've talked
during
about
November rain.
I've talked about Jokey Okey on this podcast, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's basically what that is.
Yeah, but that's like agreed upon. Though.
That should be every
I'm talking
show.
About doing it when people are like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
This is not a song.
Just renegade trying out material.
This is not, first of all, you pick a song that is an instrumental and it's very long. I don't know. Why, I don't even know why it's in the book.
Cleaning out my closet. Yeah, right. I'm going to use these three bits.
So I think we warm back up after that brief interview.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Okay, so should we get going?
The blood feud's not over, but we've warmed back up.
Right, exactly.
I like the idea of, like, if we finish, well, at the exact same time they finish, and we're like trying to get out the door, and we just, like, stare them down for a second.
Absolutely.
In this incredibly narrow hallway, when in reality, we're like, oh, sorry, yeah, excuse me, please.
Oh, yeah, we're cowards. Yeah. It's fine.
That's true. Shelby, cut all this, please. Thank you. I don't want to make a single enemy in the world. No, I should just say in advance of we're going to be recording this, looking forward to finding out who the new president's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah. We're recording. I assume once we're
maybe tonight
done recording, we will have gotten him.
Yeah,
we got
him. He's currently running around outside on the White House lawn, being chased by a bunch of cops waving nightsticks.
Robert Mueller has a net,
and
that he's chasing
that's
him.
Right.
Yeah,
they're going through different doors in the White House and like popping out of other ones.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Yep. And sometimes there's like a scary like guy in like a Wolfman outfit.
Yeah.
For some reason, like occasionally,
like a babe, a bikini babe.
And then at one point, Trump is chasing them.
Yeah.
Then they go back.
So everyone that we don't like is going to go to jail. That's my understanding. So
they're going
to
bring Hillary Clinton out for one last job.
Brave improv new team, world. You're going down.
Yeah,
you're going to Gitmo with
that's right.
Donald Trump.
That's right. So hey, let's get this thing going.
Let's do it.
Number five.
Okay, number five. Some exciting news from our friends to the north, Canada, of course. So
the Night's Watch. They're keeping us safe.
Thank you. Thank you, Canada.
The nice guys.
The sweethearts. The sweethearts to our north. They are getting, Toronto specifically, is getting, this is like a weird headline because of the specificity. Toronto is getting North America's first Garfield-themed restaurant. So that implies that other Garfield-themed restaurants
exist. South America, Europe, Africa.
Yep.
Every other continent has a Garfield.
I would like to know how
we're the last
ones. How did Canada beat us to it? That's something I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Also, a bunch of penguins going into the Garfield restaurant. That's just for penguins.
I feel like that would be a Garfield comic strip.
That's more of a Heathcliff thing, I think.
Yeah.
Just a complete nonsense. Doesn't make any sense. It's a garbage ape for some reason.
I'm just imagining Heathcliff like planting a flag on the South Pole.
Yeah.
Like I can see that image very vividly in my mind. Garfield doesn't really get out much, so I don't think he would be
right
doing that.
That's right. Well, is it so Garfield themed restaurant?
He's a brooding type like Doonesbury.
I feel like Garfield's very negative. I feel like he doesn't really like the Canadian spirit. I feel like is not really.
Yeah, he's not like even he likes lasagna, but I feel like it's like he likes lasagna for its like sedative effect,
right.
Not because he like
he likes to eat lasagna that comes in a pan that's the exact same size and shape as his bed.
Yeah,
and then he just gets back in his bed.
He
this
yeah
is the
he
only
eats
way I can sleep. This is the only way the demons will leave me alone.
I do think it is like imagine a twin bed sized like trough of French fries.
Yeah.
And then you just eat them all and then you just tuck yourself into it.
Yeah.
I remember Garfield also had some very shapely turkey legs and like hams and steaks and
weird,
things.
They're weirdly suggestive.
Very curvaceous.
Jim Davis.
Like Instagram babe chicken legs.
Like they were
curvy,
drawn in
curvy
that
wife.
Period where like the Catholic Church wouldn't allow nudes, so they just like drew very sexual meats.
It's like a sexy ham wearing like a Fashion Nova dress.
Yeah.
It was a thought of a ham. It was a thick ham with three C's.
I have
this ham
always
is selling flat tummy tea. What's going on here?
I've never eaten one of those big turkey legs, and I've like always we were talking about like
they're too much.
I wanted things that I know are bad that I want to do before I die. Comedy on a cruise, eating a whole giant turkey leg.
Oh, we got to do a cruise.
Renaissance Fair cruise that's also a comedy.
Get
them, knock them all out in
one.
Folks, buy tickets now for the What a Time cruise.
It's like, this is the
and
worst event that's ever been put on.
It's a Renaissance Fair comedy cruise, so it's spelled What a Time, T-Y-M-E.
That's right.
Yeah,
and we're all in.
Just the worst people.
We do news stories from like the 1300s.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
From the advent of the printing press.
You guys heard about this?
We promised we weren't going to do too many more plague stories, but this one is just too good.
It's a classic.
We can't.
Number five.
So Garfield restaurant.
Yeah. So
does it only sell lasagna?
It doesn't. See, this is.
I hope they sell the secondary Garfield foods, like I mentioned before.
I don't think they sell shapely turkey legs, which is too bad. They sell pizza, cookies, lasagna, of course. A few flavors of Garfaccino coffees, which sounds revolting. Like, it doesn't sound like the word Garfield.
You can put Garf in front of anything.
Garfaccino is like, that's worse than the Dunkaccino from the Jack and Jill with Al Pacino.
My name is Garfaccino.
Actually, it's Dunkaccino. That's like this is the dumbest.
They all love my Garfaccino. We're gonna Garf our brains out.
No one can see this. Burn all copies.
The greatest scene in film history.
It's very funny. I don't know anything about the rest of Jack and Jill other than he wants to. I think he wants to fuck Adam Sandler in a wig.
Yes.
He's playing himself, and he wants to fuck Adam Sandler in a wig.
Oh, was this on the podcast where I talked about how? I don't think it was. So when I lived in Austin, the door box office woman at the comedy club, she also worked for like film PR companies. Mm-hmm. So she'd have all this leftover like promotional bullshit that she would just give to comics for
swag.
Free because we were
nice.
All broke. And so there was like a year in Austin where every stand-up comedian was wearing a Jack and Jill beanie. Like, the entire scene, everyone had one. And I remember talking about this, and the first thing Patty said was, have you seen the Dunkaccino scene
it's so
in
good.
Jack and Jill?
It's weird.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
That's the first scene of the movie, right? I think it is. I think it opens on Dunkaccino.
Starts strong.
Well, then he shows it to him, and he's like, "No one can ever see this."
No one can see this. They zoom out, and they're like in an office.
Yeah, he's like he's weirdly committed to this movie of all movies. He phoned in so many movies, and then he's like super high energy in the Adam Sandler and Adam Sandler's twin. Girl, so just Adam Sandler going, oh, I don't know, boys. Yeah. Like, you know, like, the, yeah, this,
like
is the one, this is the one I'm going to go
Bunny,
for.
Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd.
Right,
like, full
right.
on, yeah.
So there's the, they've got Dunkaccinos.
They have Garfaccinos. They have, so the pizza and cookies, while not traditional Garfield foods, are shaped like Garfield.
Okay.
Which means they are basically, like, round with two little
with
nubs
two bumps,
on the top.
Right, yeah.
Oh, those are, like,
well, that cookie looks
barely
like Garfield.
The shape of anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very vague shape.
Hey, is that a Garfield-shaped chocolate chip cookie? Yeah, shaped like his head. How'd
or
you know
it's like a bad oval.
Yeah, it does just look like a bad, gross oval.
It's like when you ask
he's
for
not
a heart-shaped pizza from like those like stupid like Reddit posts where it's like, it's Valentine's Day, can I get a heart-shaped pizza from Papa John's? And they're like, oh, fuck you,
well,
man.
Well, as
like,
a former pizza flipper myself, it's very hard to shape pizza into what you want. Like,
stretching that dough.
Yeah, it's the only shape that really makes sense. It's not like you pour it like pancakes into a mold and it works out. Unless you do that.
Perhaps. And it's just really bad pizza.
Yeah. Garfield was never a stickler for quality.
That's true. So
that's true. He's quantity man for sure.
We were talking about this, and so like pizza is not traditionally a Garfield food.
Does it sit in a restaurant?
No. So that's the other thing is it's like basically just a delivery service. Which...
you could never go there on dates, like John, loser.
Yeah.
Like just eating in sad with your cat.
All the meals are for one.
A cat who hates you and you hate him.
I don't know if I'm sure New York has these places. I don't think I've. Discovered any yet, but Austin had like a place like this where it was like a 24-hour food delivery place that didn't have like a sit-down location. It was like only on apps and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was called Big Bite, and it was like
a commissary kitchen.
Yeah, it was for
or
shithead
Chinese restaurant.
It was for shithead college kids
or
and
Domino.
Like
the Domino. Some of the Domino's don't really have. You can pick up there, but they have like one table.
Right. It basically just exists on the internet.
Yeah, it was there was a service that delivered like meals called Maple that was like that. It was like a David Chang invested in. It was really great, but then it didn't make any money and it's gone now.
That's
so,
too bad because if a David Chang version of this sounds good. Big Bite was like, do you want, we will just defrost Aramark mozzarella sticks for you and like send
that
them to you in
to
2 hours.
Well, Domino's briefly went the other way where they were like, oh, we're doing a new thing where we have a special window where you can watch us make the pizzas. Like, who is that appealing to?
I don't
want to
see that.
You're not watching Stradivarius
Look, I don't
make
need to
a
know
violin.
Where this,
like,
I don't want to know where this comes
Domino's
from.
Pizza.
I regret it the second I eat it. All right. Like, I have, like, it's like a whole, there's a whole cycle for ordering.
I would
that.
Not
I
volunteer to view it more than I have. have to.
It's a shame cycle. It's,
I don't even look at it while I'm eating it.
Exactly. I don't want to see what it looks like.
It just goes right into my mouth.
I eat in the dark. Yeah. I get the deep dish pizza or whatever it's called now, the classic pan or whatever.
So this is perfect.
I feel ill.
Man,
it's going to be like, bring me my garfocado toast and let me just eat it in shame.
I just had like a flashback to like the first joke I ever wrote, which was about eating in the dark.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was about Whataburger. And I like went to Whataburger like drunk at 2 a.m. and I got back to my room and I realized that my roommate's bedroom window and my bedroom window, like she could see into my room.
Yeah.
Like I realized because it was like
angled,
night.
So you could
yeah. Like... So my I didn't want her to see me eating Whataburger, so I just turned the lights off. I just ate it in the dark.
It's like a restaurant concept from the early 2000s.
Right. Oh, right.
The dark restaurant.
And also the ones where you had to be naked also.
What? Wait, what?
There were some restaurants where it's like you eat, everyone's naked, but maybe they're not both of those. There were some where everyone's naked, and there were some where
both.
You eat in the dark.
It's important for it to be both.
See. Yeah. That everyone's naked and they can't write you up.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. It's the health inspectors lack object
what
permanence.
It's like, did someone just brush against my shoulder?
Yeah, that I feel like
it's
no.
Like a very soft finger.
Do you want to replicate the experience of shame eating in public, dark and nude? Perfect. Yeah. That's what I want.
Yes.
Like, how does that make it better?
In front of my date.
It's like the same. Like I don't know. I feel like tech dipshits love that guy. Oh, it's like a sensory.
That's true.
You know, it's
tech dipshits love two restaurant concepts. Gimmicky things like that, and then also very expensive versions of food you eat as a child. Those are their favorite things because they're
yeah,
all
peanut
like
butter
man
and
children.
Jelly place that's like
yep.
Bespoke.
Yeah, like a fancy grilled cheese that you pay $20 for. They like love that.
Or
shit.
Any kind of place where you cook the meat yourself at the table. Mm. Like you do most of the work.
Yeah, that's good too.
I'll pay $500.
Well, I will never besmirch the good name of Chinese hot pot where you do that, which is
oh,
like
sure.
My
you're,
favorite.
Your hot pot
food.
Head. That sounds great.
Love it. Hot love it. Head. Going on Tuesday, folks.
Folks. So Garfield.
You can do that at any hibachi place too, just if you are assertive enough in front of the chef.
That's true. Like, yeah.
Does Garfield,
I know what I'm doing.
Does Garfield deliver your food? Does a guy in a Garfield costume deliver the food?
It's only Garfield shaped, which is insane. It's like,
is it Garfield brand? Does the pizza box have Garfield all over it?
I don't see. Okay, yes, the pizza box has like Garfield comic strips on it.
Okay.
The other crazy detail about this story.
Save that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a collector's item for sure. The other crazy thing about this story is that, like I said in this headline, Toronto is getting North America's first Garfield themed restaurant. This concept called Garfield Eats, one word.
Mm-hmm. Like Uber Eats.
It has one other location, and that location is Dubai.
So, you know, I would have thought Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
Because that's where he sends Nirmal. He doesn't send Nirmal to Dubai.
Whoa.
Oh, man. What if they just love Nirmal and Abu Dhabi because of that? It's like how people in Iran really like Queen. Like, even when, like, homosexuality is very criminalized there, they're like,
that's
he's Persian. I love Queen.
Oh, that's
yeah,
amazing.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
They love big teeth. That's why they love that movie.
They idolize big teeth.
Could you imagine two big chiclet teeth?
Being like a poor person in the Emirates who lives in like a tent city where it's always 120 degrees
right.
And you like commute into the golden city to make stuff for rich people and you have to work at the Garfield place.
Yeah. That's like, I don't know. I was saying this before we started because I was talking to Patty about how this place is in Dubai. And I was like, is it racist to think Dubai is like, really fucked up? Is that bad? Because it seems really fucked up.
Well, no, because it's just the worst parts of America magnified.
Exactly.
Like, that's
yeah.
all it is. Just
right,
what
which
we're
is
doing.
Why the Garfield thing tracks to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
But also, like, I'm just imagining, like, Jim Davis going there and being treated like a sultan. You know?
Carried
like,
in on a beer.
He's sitting on, like, a huge bed with, like, tons of, like, flowing, like, yeah. you know, lacy, not lacy, but, like, see-through curtains,
sheer fabrics,
and the wind's
a
blowing,
lot of textures, a lot
someone,
of throw pillows,
and someone just brings him his lasagna, and he's eating it, and he's just just laying there in his own just opulence.
But he gets
yeah,
into
a babe is feeding him lasagna like it's a. Bunch
they have
of
like
grapes.
A bunch of yeah, a bunch of grapes that are plucked to be the shape of Garfield, which is to say like kind of round but with a couple bumps on them.
Do you think Jim Davis is getting a kickback from this? That's the
he
other
has
question.
Because I assume like the Garfield company like licenses it out or whatever.
Or
they're going to get sued.
That's
I mean, it's
the
one
thing,
or the other.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's just very weird to me that it would go like I guess Garfield is globally popular, but it seems to me it's such a quintessential, like, Mondays, right? I guess that's international. That's like a
Look,
universal thing, but like...
Hating Mondays transcends all cultures.
I guess. I mean, like... Isn't the Sabbath not on the same day in a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, does every country work the same?
There's no way France has, it resonates that much.
Right.
That's true, yeah. Places where people are less, slightly less worked to death.
Just like Garfield in like a yellow vest, like smashing up like the fancy boutiques on like the Champs-Élysées. So how did this bypass the U.S. entirely? They found
no
support in the U.S.
Where's Garfield from?
That's a good question.
Well, Jim Davis is from like Indiana.
That makes sense.
That somehow like tracks for
I think
me,
Jim Davis went to Bowling Green, I want to say.
But you know what this means? If they now have a presence in Dubai, is the Dilbert guy is going to take sides with the Shiites.
Yeah.
You're going to have
It's going to cause
together.
A lot of problems. Yeah. Anyway, best of luck to Garfield Eats. I bet it's gross. Also, you can't cut a Garfield-shaped pizza into equal slices, and that bothers
no
me.
No way.
Yeah, somebody's going to get hosed on that, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we each get one of the ears.
I guess the thing is, if you really like crust, you could take the ear piece.
Get the tail. The tail probably has a lot of crust.
It's
you can't
just
put
head
too much.
It's just his head. It's very,
oh, that's right. It's just his head. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's
what
a
mess. Ripoff.
It's a mess. All right. Well, if anyone in Canada, in Toronto, wants to go try it, please let us know.
Yeah, let us know
what's
how
their
it is.
Delivery? Is it a flat delivery rate? Because we could get it delivered here.
Kickstarter, please.
Please send us.
Send us the delivery fee. Please. We'll hire a Lyft driver to drive it from Toronto.
Pack it in dry ice and send it to us. Dry ice, as discussed last week. Oh, we got some new. We have a new Luke Moniz sound drop, referring to last week. I figured we'd just play that for everybody here.
I've seen a bird kill itself.
just something important to memorialize.
Thank you
for everyone. All right, so let's keep going.
Number four.
Number four. This is a story when I heard JP was coming in. We had to get this one here. This is a Connecticut story, baby.
203, baby.
Where's that?
It's the southern area code of Connecticut. There's 203 and 860.
I see. Yeah.
We hate the 860.
Yeah, they're bad.
We don't respect them.
Does Ludacris say 203 in area codes? I don't think he does.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I remember listening to it and being like, come on.
Listening
come on.
For your southern Connecticut.
I want to be one of the hoes. It's not clear what this has to do with me. Just, I want him to say the thing.
He
that's
has
me.
So many hoes in Fairfield, Connecticut.
Yeah.
We're not recognized in a lot of art. So please hit on something.
Look,
just Gilmore Girls.
Hoes,
that's
okay?
it.
Yeah, they're hoes.
They're hoes there. So this is from Westport, Connecticut. Probably fewer hoes there.
Yeah. Which I do want to say is where my bully from summer camp was from.
Makes a lot of sense.
It tracks. Yeah.
She read my journal. Hey, Abby, if you're listening, fuck you.
Would she like smack you with an oar?
Yeah. She.
That's why you don't have a journal. It's bad OPSEC.
I know.
As a kid, you got to be, you know.
I got my journal read so much.
She tied you to a
constantly getting
and
owned.
Dragged you around.
Yeah, she ruined my craft projects. My popsicle stick God's Eye. She broke
come
in
on.
Half.
You call this a God's Eye? Wow, so apparently Jay's dad from The Critic is the...
That's how everyone from Connecticut sounds.
Right.
Yeah. Take that, Guernica.
I'll take that back across the lake.
That's right. Back to the slightly less rich kids camp.
Yeah,
it's like the camp from Heavyweights.
The upper middle class,
a slightly nicer version.
Camp is the shitty one.
Yeah.
So
you don't even have horses.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So anyway, this is Westport, Connecticut. Headline here, and this is a headline that I saw in the taxi TV,
and I
lunged at the screen, but it's very confusing.
You're trying to take a screenshot.
It's very
of
confusing
the taxi screen.
Because like it's hard to hit because they're all kind of like so used up over the time that you have to really kind of
you
mash
have to
them.
Really, yeah.
And also,
put
it's
some elbow grease
also
in.
Like,
I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm trying to
honey.
Click it, and it says like click text to launch, but then by then it already flipped over to the next thing.
Yeah.
So I immediately Googled it. Like to find the headline. I had enough of
you
the keywords in
the
headline.
Right spots.
Yeah, just can't feel anything anymore.
So it's mystery box levers torment resident of wealthy Connecticut community for year, according to the police. And this is in Westport, Connecticut. Police are asking for help identifying two people in a bizarre mystery that has plagued a homeowner in wealthy Connecticut town. They keep leaving boxes on the person's front lawn.
It's the opposite of a package thief.
Yeah. So they just
this
like,
is like the plot of Lost Highway. Like, this is exactly what happens.
Someone's just leaving these boxes, and...
What's in them?
Well, some of the boxes have contained headless chickens.
So. Jesus! Okay.
That's the start of a meal, though, so okay.
Yeah, right.
This is that's the delivery service. That's the Garfield delivery service leaving.
This feels a little bit like they're extrapolating more than they should, but it's not clear why boxes are being left on the lawn. Police say the headless chickens may be tied to religious or cultural rituals. Like, okay, thanks.
That was my first thought, because I've watched a lot of Law & Order. I feel like Law & Order loves a Santeria episode.
Yes.
I've seen,
like,
many Santeria Law & Orders.
Yeah.
That's one of the best James Bond movies, is the one with, like, voodoo and stuff.
Yeah.
It's also a good thread in Devil's Advocate. That's the first case that Keanu Reeves gets when he gets assigned to John Milton's firm. That's Al Pacino's name in the movie, is John Milton.
John Milton. John he looks Dunkachino. Like a John Milton. Well, John Dunkachino Milton.
Yeah.
It's his nickname from law school.
I will defend Devil's Advocate forever. Delroy Lindo is the voodoo guy, and it's only a health code case. And he's like, he kills a goat. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the police say that there's no reason to believe the homeowner is being targeted. I would guess the homeowner is not too comforted by this.
Yeah. There's no reason to believe they're being targeted apart from
I can think of one reason.
The fact that
the
all
evidence of
them
what's
are,
happened. Yeah.
Are left on their lawn.
Footage released by police shows two people walking down the street. One of them, who appears to be a man, pauses when he reaches a fenced yard. He lifts a medium-sized cardboard box over the fence and places it down the yard. Then he walks off in the direction of the Westport train station.
I've been
to that train station many times.
Yeah. I would watch this like poltergeist sequel,
absolutely.
Like, for sure.
Near the Westport train station, so I was there not too long ago visiting some pals when I had a show at a Fairfield Comedy Club. And we went to a Match Burger Lobster. Did you ever go to this place?
Okay, no, that sounds great though.
It's quite good.
Burger Lobster.
They actually do have like a lobster burger as like a
the
like
lobsters
a
make burgers.
But it's lobster. It's lobster
you're telling
rolls.
Me a lobster made this burger?
Yeah, that's right. It's
I love
all,
a lobster
they all clean
roll.
Their rooms. It's a Jordan Peterson themed restaurant.
I gotta say, this is the best burger I've ever had.
That's all he eats, right? All he eats is like red meat.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a
yeah.
Weird diet.
If you could serve it to me without the bun or cooking it,
you've got the accent down. That's pretty good, actually.
Would you call that an accent? I don't know if I'd call that an accent.
There's a bit of Canadian
the way he said about,
okay.
Sounded like kind of Canadian-y.
Attention to detail.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
So no real closure on that one yet. We'll see.
As it develops, it's going to turn into a grisly murder story. And it's
right.
Like,
I mean, it's
yeah,
one of those things
weird.
Where it's like, well, this seems like it's kind of threatening, but oh
yeah.
Well.
I just love the idea of some Westport yuppie just frequently opening his door and yelling, like, what do you want?
Yeah. Hon, it's the chickens again.
That's what's like. So strange, because I just feel like if you're a person who lives in a wealthy town in Connecticut, anything involving your lawn or any activities
yes.
on your lawn is like of utmost importance.
Oh, lawns
to you.
Are sacred.
I also feel like most people in Westport are more likely to call the police over like their kid not making varsity lacrosse.
Right. Yeah.
That's why they call the police.
So much crying wolf in that town. The police are just completely desensitized to these clear mafia death threats that are being left on the doorstep. Like, yeah, it's probably enough.
It's their reasoning for they don't believe it's a target is like. You seem nice. Who would do this to you?
Right.
Meanwhile,
no one nice has ever been the victim of a crime.
Exactly. We live in Westport, Connecticut. What's the problem?
But this person has called the cops for, like, not getting a smile from a cashier at
right.
the local deli.
All right.
So, okay. Well, I'm calling the police. This is happening.
Hope you can explain this to Mark. He's the chief. I know him. All right.
I got him elected.
Yeah. So I guess best of luck to these people.
Westport, we're Westport Strong. We're hashtag Westport Strong.
Westport Strong.
No, we have that's right. Ribbons that we're selling on the website.
Westport Strong, baby. What's the color? What's the? I'm imagining the ribbon of support. I'm guessing a tartan, perhaps.
I'm guessing like a waspy blue and white type of nautical thing.
Yeah, or like that faded like Nantucket red.
Yeah,
it's actually they licensed the color of a blue that was only featured on Saab's at one point.
The 9.3s.
Yeah, that Saab owned. And then when Saab went away, they kept the rights to the paint.
We must have this color for our beach house.
Yeah. Or one of those diesel Mercedes. You know, the old,
they made those?
Yeah, those old ass diesel Mercedes.
That's what
you need. Good luck to Westport.
Number 3.
Okay, this story comes to us from Iguana Helium Cube in the Discord, which I gotta say, Iguana
MVP.
Helium Cube really delivers.
Brings the heat.
A lot of stories getting on the show from you. Thank you so much. I really...
We're going to find out that Iguana Helium Cube is like Shakespeare, where it was actually like multiple people.
Yeah, it's a collective.
No one person could produce all of this.
Yeah, and a long enough timeline, they're going to make an Iguana Helium Cube in love, and it's going to not deserve the Oscars, but it's win them anyway.
I think it's going to be like a Nightcrawler situation where they... are actually the people perpetrating this so that they can yes.
How are you always the first one on the scene in these crazy stories?
Exactly.
Just letting all these animals loose, doing all these crazy things.
Exactly. So
knocking hear that, Rand police? Paul off his lawnmower.
Yeah, right. Yes, it's actually the guy who tackled Rand Paul.
If anyone asks, my name is Rene Bouchet.
Do not follow up on this information.
I am not Iguana Helium Cube.
I like your Cajun sounds a little Jamaican. I like that. A little island flavor in there. Yeah. So,
it's also my Scottish.
Yeah.
It's one accent, just an omnibus weird accent.
Yeah.
Not from here.
That's how I do it. That's the
accent. There's like a couple, there's like not from here, former British colony, and then there's like not from here, Eastern Europe. Like those are the two flavors of like. You can be that, or you can be like Tommy Wiseau. Like those are the two.
Oh, hello. Yeah, just very, very unsure where he's
indeterminate from. Origin.
Yeah,
I am from the Arkansas part of the United States.
So this story comes to us from Missouri, and it's a story about a enterprise car rental dealership. Just some classic goings on there. They had a 19-year-old employee who got in trouble.
As you should, you know, if something needs to get done, yeah, you hand it off to a 19-year-old.
Get a 19-year-old, absolutely.
They know what they're doing.
So this 19-year-old decided to dose his three colleagues at the Enterprise rental car with LSD. He put some LSD in two of their water bottles and a third one's coffee cup. And they... I'm kind of with this guy on this. So... It's really funny because apparently when asked about this by the police, the guy literally said that he did it because they had, quote, negative energy, which kicks ass.
I had already, officer, I already called you about their vibes.
Exactly.
So you didn't come.
Well, this is the thing, is like, that is a very funny thing to say, but when these people got dosed with LSD, their response was to call the cops. So, like, yeah, they seem like fucking narcs.
Self-narcs.
Yeah. The cops. They called the cops.
I like that this guy's experimenting with, like, the three of them are water, but one of them is coffee. He's just, like, testing the delivery systems of this acid to see which one works best.
Right. Yeah. Like, maybe combining it with a little caffeine is going to do a good job.
Gets in the bloodstream faster.
But yeah, so they called the cops because they were feeling dizzy. So that's, you know, generally my first response to that.
That's a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I'm kind of with the dude. Like they sound like a real drag to work with. So, but yeah, he's in trouble. So.
Yeah, he's in am I in trouble, man? Like, yes, you are, man.
Wait, I told you about the vibes, though, right? Nah, you're still in trouble.
This is self-defense.
The judge is, like, really compelled by the whole vibes thing.
Yeah.
It's self-defense about against these psychic vampires who are trying to harsh my mellow.
Yeah. The judge, like, lifts up his robe, and he's wearing, like, a Grateful Dead t-shirt underneath it. And he's like, I got you, man. It's like, wow.
Because defendant allowed these parties to enter a new phase of their comedy career with this acid dosing.
Have y'all ever done acid?
No.
I have not.
You
keep
have
meaning
not?
To.
It's
what do JP and I have in common?
I have not. I haven't done it in like 10 years.
It's
so
not
I'd...
dumb to do acid in Connecticut.
Mother went to boarding school, I think is probably one of the
That's the only way people from Connecticut do acid is at boarding school.
Yeah.
That's it. I did it in college like 10 years ago.
You got to go to Choate, baby.
It's pretty good, but I feel like it's one of those things where I get why people who do it sometimes need to tell everyone about how it changed their life,
yeah.
But I can't think of anything worse to hear, like to listen
it's,
to.
Yeah. It's like the highest level of telling someone about a dream, really.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same the same type of deal.
I did you ever hear anybody tell you about like being on ayahuasca or any of that kind of thing?
Yes.
And it's just like the best thing about ayahuasca is like, well, first you have like horrible diarrhea and throw up a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot of time. And it's like, cool, man. This sounds okay. Well, you got me already. Nice. I'm in.
Let's go.
Right. Like,
also, like, no one's ever like been weakened and like had hallucinations after being like insanely dehydrated by having
exactly
being ill.
You can have a psychoactive experience just from eating food that's
you
bad.
You just drink Clorox.
Yeah,
probably be fine.
Just like leave some oysters out, and then you know
it's basically ayahuasca. That's what
yeah,
we're saying.
It pretty much like just get a circle of people, like get a drum circle going, and then eat some bad oysters, yeah. And
you,
it's like pretty
bad,
much the same.
An undercooked garfzanya and. Just
I think,
see the face of God.
I think like the I think I saw enough stuff in like entertainment and stuff that like it worked on me when I was a kid that like the idea of like having like a bad trip like 20 years later or something
yeah.
off it.
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, I don't want anything permanent in my brain.
That was
know?
A real health teacher go-to.
Yeah.
Because acid doesn't show up in drug tests. It's not addictive. And people who are like sober use it to like help them with their sobriety. So like there really aren't a lot of negatives, so they really leaned heavily on that bad
on the,
trip.
But
thing.
It could not be fun. Like that's
yeah.
like the
You
yeah.
might put your baby on a hoagie roll and put it in the microwave.
Yeah,
it might be
exactly.
a waste of $7.
Yeah. That's the thing, and it's also like it's
California cheeseburger.
The other thing they go to with drugs that aren't particularly harmful is they're always like, well, they could have adulterated it with something.
Weed,
and you
yeah.
can't do that
it's
with
probably
acid.
Probably laced with something.
Yeah. You can't do that with acid because acid, like everything else, is more expensive.
Right.
So like, there's no reason
no
anyone one's would
just throw in some coke.
Yeah.
For the fun of it.
And it's like you take it in such small doses, like you can't
okay,
really
I'm
yeah.
tripping,
it.
But I like want to start a small business.
Wait, was there something else on this tiny piece of paper?
Right. Did I accidentally? I guess now like people are like that about fentanyl. Like people are insane about like. Cops going into like OD
yeah.
things
and, like,
with
one
like hazmat suits
fuck you up.
And a flake like flying through the air
yeah.
and landing on somebody. Or
it's
something.
Right, and
the
it's like, oh no, you're
feather.
Dead.
And
instantly.
It's like turned into a skeleton.
Instantly.
Yeah. Don't. It's the PSA. That's not how fentanyl works.
Yeah.
Like,
don't put fentanyl in my acid, please.
Don't put fentanyl in my acid. But also, if somebody takes fentanyl and you help them, you're not going to accidentally die of fentanyl.
We should
that's
all
not
do,
a problem.
We should do acid that is made cut out of Garfield comic strips.
I wonder if there's ever been a Garfield sheet. I probably.
There must
yeah.
have been.
Yeah, especially when it was like when he was like
baked into
heyday.
A lasagna.
Oh.
Like during like the Garfield and Friends era. You know, that's probably peak.
That writer's room was just
they were yeah.
Well,
that's how they how do they come up with the US acres, you know?
Yeah, man.
Because it's just like, well, one of them could just be an egg that like never hatches. It's
these
like,
guys
well,
should
insane.
Start their own country.
Yeah.
That's a, yeah, that's the
yeah, so
difference
we got the
between...
Garfield stories, but we don't get enough mileage out of that. We need like a B story.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just make up a whole bunch of other characters
Garfield
that are completely unrelated to Garfield. It's like, that sounds good to me.
That's the difference. Coke makes you want to start a small business. Acid makes you want to found a nation. That's the difference. It's really just in
how
scale.
Do you think we got this country, man?
It's like how Eek the Cat had the terrible thunder lizards. Wasn't that all part of the same cartoon? Does anyone else?
I have no idea.
Does anyone
that
know
is.
What I'm talking about?
No.
Odie okay. was licking something.
Shelby,
yeah, he was all tongue.
Do you remember Eek the Cat?
Tabs.
What is
nobody
Eek
remembers
the
Eek the
cat?
Cat?
I vaguely remember the name Eek the Cat,
oh
but I can't
God.
Picture
okay.
him or her.
Listeners, I hope some of you know what I'm talking about. this is real.
Was he a or he or she a rival of Felix the Cat?
He was a very he was a fraidy cat. He was afraid.
Okay.
Eek the,
hence the
cat.
He had a girlfriend who was a giant pink lady cat who was like the stereotypical like the nerdy guy and like, who's like me boy me wing
like
huge.
Kermit
and she's like
Biggie.
Hitting him with a rolling pin and yelling. But she was very nice. She looked, but she looked, she was like giant, like in the way that those wives, you know,
apparently, according to Wikipedia, the show Eek the Cat had frequent movie spoofs of things such as Apocalypse Now and A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
They did that in like Animaniacs too, with like
yeah.
these movies that children should not
but
have
when
seen.
Did, when did Eek the Cat run? Like 1990 to 1994 or something? I feel like it was more recent than that. I was definitely when I was a kid, obviously.
92 to
97. Yikes. Well, Eek the Cat, it's real.
It
we
sure
just
is.
Proved it.
Animaniacs would always have that guy who talked like this. He's from like 50s movies, like nothing that you would have ever
oh,
seen.
Oh, the guy with like the one eye that was
he
off.
Had like the slick back. Yeah, his eyes
yeah,
like
yeah,
bugged
yeah.
out.
Yeah, they did a lot of like weird like film noir parodies and stuff.
Yeah, they Animaniacs. Probably had like inside jokes about the Manson murders and stuff.
Probably.
Because it's on the Warner Brothers lot.
Some of that shit holds up, man.
Oh, I'm sure.
You ever
I'd
watch,
love to watch it again.
Go on YouTube and watch Chicken Boo. It's the funniest shit ever. It's
oh,
like
yeah.
The premise of it is that it's like they do these very elaborate movie parodies or whatever, but Chicken Boo is literally just a chicken. So it's
yeah.
like everyone is reacting to him as if he is like, I don't know, fucking Humphrey Bogart or something and whatever it is, but then he's just a chicken. It's a delight. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Check it out.
Chicken Boo.
Put it in the comments.
We'll put a link in the
comments.
To the Disney Vault or whatever it's in.
Disney Vault. They got that streaming service coming out. Apparently, they're going to be unlocking the vault for the streaming service.
So if
you pay for the streaming service, you get access to the little... You can get...
You still have to pay for the racist stuff.
Cling to the...
That's what I was going to say. Are they putting out everything in that vault?
Can I get Song of the South on this thing?
I need to know.
I need Uncle. Mickey
was in the Klan for a little bit.
Yeah, I need
those weird times.
I need the weird Donald Duck like fighting the Nazis cartoon.
Yeah. All of the propaganda.
Yeah, I need all that stuff.
Not so great Japanese caricatures.
Yes, there was like
not so great. Little bit of an understatement.
I'm gonna soft sell it.
Yeah,
not so great.
It was. Yeah, that's well, you know.
They showed us that.
At least there's no other examples of that in major popular culture.
Sure. Yes. Oh man, I did. I think I talked about this on the podcast. I do this movie show in Austin where it's like Mystery Science Theater, and we did Breakfast at Tiffany's, which has insanely racist.
That's exactly what I was referring to.
Yeah, and we just had to cut the whole thing out because we were like, "What are we?
What is he?
We
like,
can't
Mr.
make
Mr.
jokes
Honey,
over
like
this?
Mr. Hanayoshi or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
And he's the landlord.
He's like
you pay rent now, basically.
Mad at Audrey Hepburn for being a slut, basically, and like not paying rent, and she's always locked out of her apartment. And
that's
has
the
to
double whammy. He's
Mr.
like
Yuniyoshi.
Racistly being a misogynist.
Mr. Yuniyoshi, that's it.
Yeah, and
I
it's
was
like,
laughing at the idea of a volume of Superman where it's like Superman versus the Puerto Ricans.
He is the wall. He just zooms back and forth along the border.
Fast enough. It's dusty enough and stuff. Yeah. Mickey Rooney in that is basically just Krusty from that. This the miso Sally doing the flapping dicky and the big teeth.
Pretty much. Yeah. He has the big teeth. Yeah. It's really bad.
Unbelievable.
A makeup artist worked on those big teeth.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
and
the same
they,
one
they
that
used
did
the same teeth for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah. They kept those special teeth.
It's a
teeth.
Nice nod to you know, history.
To racism of yore.
And Rami Malek just kept them in his mouth.
And Oscar voters eat that stuff up, you know? They love those nods to classic film history.
Oh, he got really ugly for this part.
They love movies about movies, just like the way journalists love movies about journalists, you know?
Green Book. Put a link in the comments to Green Book.
Check it out. Green Book.
Number three. Number two.
What's happening?
I hit number two and number three at the same time. This is number two.
Number 23. Guys. Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. Number 32. Larry Johnson, maybe? I can't remember.
Magic Johnson.
Magic had 32. Okay. All right. So this one is not a... This is not a current story. But it's a
but
story
it's
about something that happened at
a time to be alive.
But it did come out, and this is
it was a topic this week.
Yeah,
I would say.
This is something that I explained very briefly to Kath, and she was like, "Yeah, we have to talk about this." So you guys know Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. You guys remember the classic film?
Sure do.
That everyone definitely still thinks is good and has not revisited since it came out. Or anything.
Speaking of Oscar bait,
that's right. Actually, it was a nice segue that I didn't pick up on. So there was a plan for a sequel to Forrest Gump. Obviously made a lot of money and all that stuff. It doesn't seem like it's an obvious pathway to a sequel to me.
A man too dumb to be racist.
That's right.
What?
Because it was based on a novel, and so one of the guys who adapted...
Pushed by Sapphire.
That's right. One of the guys who adapted the novel, this guy, Eric Roth, he did an interview to Yahoo, without Yahoo Entertainment talking about it, but he turned in the completed draft of Forrest Gump 2, we're talking about what's in it, but he turned it on September 10th, 2001.
No.
Yeah.
So things changed, and it didn't really get around enough executive desks, I guess.
It's like, I feel like this is just the best day to turn it in because we've really covered like all the major historical events.
Well,
like, I don't see anything else happening.
Here's the problem is like, you turn it in September 10th, 2001. That's the last day where you could conceivably have a Forrest Gump where Forrest Gump doesn't have to be involved in 9/11 somehow.
Right. There's no way around it.
Yeah, like that's the whole plot of that movie is that he's around for all these important historical events.
Right.
How are you going to put him in that?
There's a very funny number of like weird sort of hacky
these boys in Saudi Arabia wanted me to be in their group. They said they was going to New York City.
Yeah. So
recruited into Al Qaeda.
Yeah, he just set flight school with them. God,
I always wanted to know how to fly a plane. so they
never learned how to land it though.
Oh, there was a sequel book which tracked Forrest Gump adventures through the 80s called Gump and Co. Would have been a loose adaptation, which we'll hear about here. So
Gump and Co.
He shared a few plot details. So apparently, it was going to start with his son having AIDS.
Sure.
Great way
to start.
That's
right. He has to.
Right.
He might. Right? He didn't have to, but it was possible.
He has to. I've done the science.
Yeah. This guy also co-wrote Star, A Star Is Born.
Of course.
Oh, really? Recently. The same guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
So people wouldn't go to class with him in Florida. And then because he had AIDS, we had a funny sequence. I don't know how we get the funny sequence from that, but they were doing desegregation busing in Florida at the same time. So people were angry about the busing. So it's either they're mad about the desegregation busing or mad about having to be on the bus with the AIDS kid. It's like, well, you got to pick one. The AIDS kid's white. So which one are you mad about? I guess is the big classic misunderstanding that they were going to get some laughs out of.
That was in the 90s?
That was, well, no. Because
when desegregation of buses? Because the kid
Florida,
is born.
Florida's not doing great.
Right?
Yeah, that seems a little late.
I don't know when it was. I don't know when. When is the present day of Forrest Gump supposed to be at the end?
I would assume it was present day 1995 or, yeah, whenever it came out.
Well, that doesn't make – it has to be earlier because – it doesn't try. It doesn't make sense.
That's. I guess that's
maybe
true.
The 80s.
Yeah. It must be. It must be the 80s.
But anyway, so Forrest Gump
late enough
started
that they
Apple computers.
Late enough
a millionaire.
That they know what AIDS is.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is like
it's
they
not
can't be like
gay
I have
cancer.
I have grid or whatever
yeah,
it was
yeah.
called. Like
right, right, right.
I'm a woman. I have gay cancer.
I feel like I feel like Roy Cohn right now. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
It must be stomach cancer. Which
I
he
met
famously
a man
had.
In the Golden Palace. He said he was gonna be the president.
So, so, basically, you know, like this is the stuff that's in here. It like, it made me think about Forrest Gump and think, wow, Forrest Gump is like really weird and dumb. Like in retrospect,
it's an exercise in shoehorning.
Because it's just like, what are big events we can put this shoehorn this guy into? Exactly. And so the next one they had, this guy, I'll just read the quote. I had him in the back of OJ's Bronco.
Yes.
He would look up occasionally, but they didn't see him in the rearview mirror, and then he'd pop down. He's just – how the fuck is he
what?
In the Bronco Forrest, during the chase?
He's just blown away by Al Cowling's cellular phone.
I'm AC, damn it. You know who I am.
Well,
God damn it, this is AC. And then he says, my name's Forrest. Forrest Gump on the phone.
Does that with like – how
the
does
cops.
He get in the car?
Is it? There's like that tense exchange with the gun in the driveway.
Right, he's got the gun in his mouth, damn it. I'm AC.
This man was trying to eat his gun.
I
told him guns aren't food.
I immediately thought of this example. Like Forrest was like waiting tables at the restaurant that Ron Goldman worked at.
Yes.
And Ron's begging him to let him bring the sunglasses back to Nicole's house.
That lady forgot her glasses. He runs in and stops it.
Stops the murder.
Come on, Forrest. You got to let me bring it to Nicole. Come on. And it's like, oh, well, all right. You know.
Sorry. He beats the shit out of OJ and he's like, sorry, I ruined your party.
So just, yeah, OJ just, or Forrest Gump just weirdly
Forrest
involved.
Was a better running back than OJ Simpson.
That's right.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
So
he's more of a return, man.
So he was in the Bronco. Sure, and somehow gets out of that without any major
doesn't become
a major media celebrity the way that everyone who was within any kind of orbit of that thing
just
exactly.
analyzed under a microscope by the media.
Look, we all still know who Cato Kaelin is 25 years later. We would all know who fucking Forrest
Gump is.
Did
you guys see that fucking Celebrity Big Brother thing that Cato Kaelin was on?
No.
Okay, Cato Kaelin was recently on Celebrity Big Brother, and
yeah,
I didn't
truly.
See it, but I saw the like. Trailer for it, and he's like, I'm used to having crazy roommates. It's like, what the fuck? It's so crazy.
No, don't go cutting anyone's head off now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm used to living with crazy celebrities. It's like, what the fuck
is
this?
Are you like 50? Jesus Christ.
He still has the same hair. It's
the police let us drive on the highway with no one else.
So then next we cut to, I had him as a ballroom dancer who was really good. Okay.
All right.
And then eventually, just as sort of a charity kind of thing, he danced with Princess Diana. Sure.
A charity thing for her.
It was actually in Paris, and that night,
Forrest jerks the wheel.
He's in the car. No, he's driving with one of the paparazzi that chased her through the tunnel.
It's all. It would be really funny if all the historical events he gets shoehorned into are just him in different cars, famous cars through time. He's in the
resulting
Pope-mobile.
In deaths. Yeah. Right. Sirhan, Sirhan. Yeah.
He's in Reagan's car when they open fire.
Yeah. He's in all the cars.
So then he meets a Native American woman on a bus.
I'm sure, it goes great.
Finds his calling as a bingo caller on a reservation. And the big event in that, which you could see was diminished, only trying. Okay, so every day he'd wait for his Native American partner. She taught nursery school at a government building in Oklahoma City.
Oh my God! They would have had to put in 9/11.
And he was sitting on the bench waiting for her to have lunch, and all of a sudden the building behind him blows up. So he's just like sitting there.
Holy shit. I mean,
when the Murrah building blows up,
he's in Timothy McVeigh's car when Timothy he gets pulled McVeigh. Over by police.
I helped him deliver some fertilizer to his house.
It's like he's reading this strange book about these men.
We've seen Forrest Gump deal with some shit, but like a fucking trauma right in front of like a building exploding with his girlfriend.
Tim
inside.
Was a quiet man. He loved this man's diaries.
I used to do his haircuts because we had the same one.
There you go. Man, you know, he inspired McVeigh to get the haircut.
Yeah.
McVeigh had long flowing locks before good, he met Forrest Gump.
So we have just the things that happened in... Okay, so the kid has AIDS. He's in the back of Odia's Bronco. He meets Princess Di, and he's there for Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Oh, now, obviously, that one probably really jumped off the page. If anybody ever got around to reading it after 9/11, it's like, whoa.
We should do a live reading.
We can't make this. We cannot make this.
I know. I need to see this. I need a dramatic reading of this. A table read of Forrest Gump 2.
It gets really in deep with, like, the ethnic cleansing in Serbia. In the Clinton administration.
Yeah, just Forrest just running up the aisle of the plane with the cart to smash into the cockpit. That's how the movie ends. He's doing that run.
I guess you have it, like, I feel like if you're, like, the, you know, thoughtful, edgy Forrest Gump 2 writer, you have the movie end on September 10th, 2001.
With, like, Bush's plan going into place. Do 9/11.
Forrest, like, chasing,
it's
chasing.
Up to the viewer what he probably was involved because he's Forrest Gump, but like
just chasing down Muhammad Atta in like Reagan Airport, like, oh, you dropped this. It's like a box cutter, and like that's how the movie ends.
He's placing bombs in Tower 7.
Yeah, he's in charge of the controlled detonation. Yeah. And
so apparently there's gonna be a more in depth interview.
I can't wait. Can't fucking wait.
Well, okay.
Hanks is like, I was on board from the beginning. I don't know why we didn't.
We got to get this thing done. So we got breaking news from Shelby here. Not breaking news, but he texted me. The other writer of A Star Is Born is apparently the guy who wrote that Robert Pattinson movie that has the best ending of any movie of all time.
Where it's like a whole like romance.
Do you know this
drama?
Movie? Remember Me.
Oh,
Remember
my God.
Me. I've heard of it.
So
but
it's this,
I don't
like it's this
it.
Overwrought like romantic like. Yeah. You know, like a bad boy, but his dad's Pierce
like
Brosnan, a successful businessman, but he's like
a tortured writer, and like someone falls in love with him, and it's like their romantic story. And then
he's going to go like reunite and like become friends with, or not, he's going to like go like reconcile with his dad.
Yeah.
So he goes to meet him, and he's waiting in the lobby of his like office to like go meet him, and it pans out, and you find out that he's in the, or it's sort of an intercut back and forth, with zooming out with him, and then like his little sister's in school, and the teacher's writing the date on the board, and it says it's just like September 11, 2001, and it zooms out, and he's in one of the towers.
What?
The movie has nothing to do with 9/11, and then it's just like, surprise!
It's about love.
It's about love, and then a dude dying in 9/11.
And the dude who like wrote and I think directed that was really excited about it. Was really active on social media before the movie came out, and
he
then
just
like,
to have some
and basically
Shyamalan
just like
twist.
Retired from public life like after the movie.
Well,
the reaction was not
really
what he expected.
Like that was the death knell for Robert Pattinson's career, right? Because I don't think he ever did anything.
Well, he just got cast in the new something cool.
Yeah?
Christopher Nolan, I think.
He's in
Batman stops 9/11.
That was like the end of him being like a hunky guy. He had like, which I think he didn't like anyway. So probably, it's like, look, I mean, he probably read that script and was like, I hope he'd be like, this is hilarious.
Yeah. Like, he'll be like, this will finish this chapter of my life off.
When can I start being a weird
I got a little obscurity
like,
after
I would
this.
Love to fly a plane into my film career.
Right. Maybe Forrest could be the, you know, helping him out, you know, in the tower. Or
it's
something.
In the same universe.
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson is in Forrest Gump 2.
And then we can also fold Forrest Gump into Kingdom Hearts then, if we can just bring everything full circle.
Perfect. That's so crazy, though, that the guy who wrote that movie also wrote Forrest Gump. No,
he co-wrote Star Is Born with the Forrest Gump 2 guy.
Got it. Okay.
So these guys love
9/11.
Just inserting people that don't exist into tragedies, I guess. That's their big thing.
Historical situations.
And into just things where buildings blow up on American soil. Pretty cool.
Mark Wahlberg is trying so hard to be in that movie, but he can't get it.
Yeah, Forrest, Forrest gets the last ticket on standby instead of Mark Wahlberg. He's like, oh, we could have stopped it. James Woods sees Forrest Gump with the hijackers.
Yeah,
doing a dry run. that was James Woods is like coming out as a conservative. Was he like called?
Oh, was
into,
he
called
people
into
celebrating
like,
in New Jersey?
No, he was like they were on one of my on his flight.
The hijackers?
He claims he saw the hijackers doing a dry run.
Incredible. It was just different flight. Guys who
I think
were
it might
in
the
yeah, part of the world.
Well, the crazy thing is that I think it might actually have checked out.
Really?
Or it might have at least been not impossible because he was on like because they did do that. I think
yeah.
to oh, see man. Kind of to confirm that they could actually get it because like they were cross country flights. So like. Because they had the most, you know, fuel and all that stuff, and so I think,
oh wow,
I think it's at least possible that it's true, which I think is so wild.
That's like fucking, oh man, now you know James Woods just considers himself an expert profiler.
That's right.
Oh, that completely,
100%.
Yeah,
he should be working for the.
And it's, and you're right. You know, hey, if you guys see Muhammad Atta or any of those guys on your plane. Definitely tell somebody about it.
Have a strong
if
reaction.
You confirm that they are one of the because there's a lot of things that are not right about your situation and should
right.
be fixed.
What dimension are we in?
Yeah. Hey. This. Okay. First of all, you're okay. A couple questions.
Muhammad Atta is
like ding, just like hitting the fucking thing.
Muhammad Atta, and in boarding group one.
Yeah.
What kind of service is this?
So Forrest Gump 2. Let's get a Kickstarter going. We'll get this thing made. We need
yeah.
it.
Yeah, we at least need access to that script so we can read it as a bonus episode.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
He's on.
Yeah.
He's attached.
Yeah, that's attached to direct. The guy, the only guy we can trust with this kind of emotional
sensitivity.
Emotional magnitude. All right, let's close this thing out here. I hit it, I swear.
Number one.
There it is.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Okay, this story is like, we have not had a story that is more my shit than this in a while. This
yep.
is like so my shit. Okay, so first of all, we have a a vegan YouTube star who, I say that very specifically, she is not a YouTube star who happens to be vegan.
She's a
she
star
is,
of vegan YouTube.
She is a star of vegan YouTube, specifically okay. raw vegan YouTube, which
Ooh.
Is... one of my favorite places to hunt for crazy people. It's very good.
That's just like, so just for the uninitiated, just people that never cook anything.
Yeah, so.
They eat plastic out of trash. Just only plastic.
Yeah. So raw food, it's a lot of the ones on YouTube are, they're really into like a high carbohydrate diet. So they're like, I'm going to eat like 9 bananas and that's my breakfast. Like that's kind of their shit. And everyone else is like, your shits must be a nightmare. That just carnage, just horrible. But yeah.
American
so they,
carnage.
It's honestly like my theory on a lot of them. And this has somewhat been borne out from what I know is that they are, former bulimics or former binge eaters who have realized, oh, if I binge eat vegetables, I won't get fat. Like they're people
oh, wow.
who have transferred their eating disorder to this, like, I'm going to eat 5 pounds of kale for lunch. Like they just binge on these like very low calorie foods.
Yeah.
So it's like a mess.
So
it's
they're
really
just constantly
fucked up.
Chewing their entire life. They're just chewing.
Pretty much. Yeah. They just have to eat all day to like eat enough calories to live.
They live like brontosauruses did.
Yeah. They're
grazing. Pretty much. Yeah. They're like elephants or something. Like
yeah.
they just have to graze constantly. But yeah, so her YouTube handle was Ravana, Rawvana. And yeah, she was like a star of this raw vegan YouTube thing. Like she talks a lot about being plant-based. Like she says plant-based a lot. But recently, she's been having some problems. So she went to Bali, like all of these people do. Took a lot of pictures in a bikini. Put them on her Instagram.
She
caption.
She paddleboarded.
She, mm-hmm. I'm sure she paddles.
You're required if you're a celeb and you go to a place, an Instagram place, you have to
yeah.
do stand-up paddleboarding.
Mm-hmm. She probably took like a picture of her like laughing and holding like a guava in front of like a old Balinese person who
yeah.
was selling it.
She made
know?
A video.
Everything
with
here is so authentic.
Like... yep. Yep. Definitely
it's all
that
same song.
So this is like a caption from one of her pictures. After 24 hours of traveling, I finally arrived to a place I had on my bucket list. Can you guess where I am? I'll give you a hint. It's a plant-based paradise. Just I guess that means like things grow
it's
there.
Salad Island.
Yeah, like what does that mean?
I'm in Salad Cove.
I'm in the Thousand Islands.
I've got the Thousand Island stare.
Hell yeah.
That's when you eat too much. That's, if you eat so much that you just kind of, your eyes sort of glaze over and you go into a food coma.
Yeah.
That reminds me of I did a podcast with Chris Cubis once, and we talked about if there's a fat person in a movie who's just exists as a character and it's not like a punchline about them being fat, that movie passes the bechamel test.
That's incredible.
That's like a 3-year-old joke that I'm still really proud of.
They have to talk about three things that are not food.
Exactly. Yeah. If they go through the whole movie without being shown eating, then
do they have a name? Is that name a horribly mean nickname?
Oh, so the movie Fatso does not pass the bechamel test.
Absolutely not.
Fat Albert right off the bat.
Yeah. Chow Hal. Nope. Fails the bechamel test. It's bad. But yeah, so...
Minnesota Fats in The Hustler. The movie does not pass the bechamel test. Look at how fucking fat he is.
So she goes to Bali. There's some kind of picture of her. It looks like in a giant bird's nest.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it looks like one of those chairs that were hot in the 90s where they're like wicker, but you put like a pad in them and they're like conical almost.
It's like, this is a very important part of their culture, and it's very important in there. Anyway, great picture.
They have pterodactyls here. These are their nests.
I was just going to say, I'm assuming that a pterodactyl carried her there and just deposited her in front of a photographer. But yeah, so she's having a great time in Bali, but then... some controversy happens.
Hell yeah.
A fellow YouTuber that she is there with.
Jake Paul.
It's Jake Paul. It's the Dolan twins, who we talk about a lot on the show.
Fresh from their funeral.
Yeah. So a video gets uploaded onto YouTube of part of this woman's trip. She's there with another lifestyle blogger because they do these a lot. It's probably sponsored by some brand or something.
Or cross promotion.
Yeah, exactly. Cross promotion and then like a sponsored trip by like Thrive Market or something to like sell vegan shit. So her friend posts a video of them just like going about their day. I'm assuming an incredibly boring video because they all are. But in the video, there is video evidence of her eating fish in Bali.
Oh,
yeah. And
she got exposed.
She got exposed, and it's really funny.
How do you
because
fuck that up?
You can see, like, it's, this is what's crazy, is so...
what's happening?
You know, the improv people are just kind of staring into this window in a very distracting way. It's cool. Hi, can you not do that? Thank you. She stopped, but yeah, she was looking like right at me. Yeah. I'm facing the window, and I was getting very
distracted. Neat. They're recording in there. It's like, well, normally we record in a place that doesn't have a window to look into it.
It's
exactly.
The podcast enclosure.
Yeah. So thanks to you, lady. But yeah, so in the video, you see the other lifestyle blogger person like pans over, and the woman, Ravana, sort of looks at the camera, looks down, and then just puts her arms over the plate. Like, it's like, oh shit.
Was this a live video?
No, and that's what's so shady about it is I feel like the other person was trying to sabotage her.
Yeah, she went all the way to Bali to sabotage her rival.
There was so I love like weird YouTube subcultures where everyone is super competitive like this. Yeah. They're like, they crack me up. And there was like an instance of this on makeup YouTube where one person uploaded a video of another person
using a fish as makeup.
No, she said the N-word.
Oh, wow. And they, like, those are basically the same thing.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect analogy.
But she uploaded, like, I feel
she's
like
eating fish if you're a raw vegan is effectively saying the N-word.
He's like saying the N-word to vegans. Like, it's pretty much the same.
Saying the num 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 word about fish.
The N-word, of course, to vegans is non-vegetable.
Yeah. It's kind of the same. I feel like vegans react as if it is the same. But yeah, so someone uploaded a video of another person saying the N-word and then was like, I didn't do it on purpose. And was like, it seems like you did. Yeah. Like,
this is like when the guy uploaded the stuff about Swaggy P talking about cheating on Iggy Azalea.
Yeah. His own teammate.
Exactly. But yeah, no, I feel like eating fish is like you're as canceled. Maybe more canceled, honestly.
Well, it's the one fundamental thing. Like, you're out. Like, there's no...
What a visceral experience for all the viewers who, like, love and worship this vegan person. It's like... the image of them eating it's like a Hitchcock twist.
Was not an accident. Like, you know, clearly,
no, yeah, had fish on her plate.
If it's visibly, the head was it like, yeah, was it like fish. It was like a fish?
That's, I want to imagine it's like a cartoon.
Right.
Yeah, fishbone skeleton.
She pulled out the skeleton.
Right, right.
Yeah. Then licked all her little fingers.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, she was Snagglepuss.
I don't even eat fish, even. It's a plant-based fish, I tell you.
So, yeah. what happened?
So people were really mad at her.
Are they pulling money? Is she losing money?
Oh, well, so she uploaded, like...
Do those people have subscribers? It's all ad-based with those people, right?
They have a ton of subscribers.
Lots of subscribers.
But I mean, like, paying subscribers.
Is that, no, like, but it's YouTube
them?
Ads.
Right, okay.
They're all on YouTube. And they get a lot of hits, and then they have ads on their YouTube videos.
They do very well.
Yeah, so... And they do, like, partnerships with brands and stuff.
Let's become these people.
Yeah.
Right? They do great. Unless they eat fish, I guess. But so she made an apology video, which is also my other favorite like genre of YouTube video, is people apologizing for getting caught doing things. Like this week we also had Shane Dawson talking about how he didn't fuck his cat. Like, that's my shit. I love it.
I've just been saying that at yoga as my mantra.
I did not fuck my cat. I have never fucked my cat.
I did not put my dick anywhere near my cat.
It's funny how like that's a guy that like. I mean, as somebody who's, like, in a position where I'm, like, I read enough stupid online bullshit that I would, like, be kind of aware. I have no knowledge of who this guy is other than his, like, weird, unconvincing apologies for a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
There's no other content that I understand. And
apology Twitter.
There are millions of people who are like, I love this guy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's not good.
I don't even know what he does.
Seems like we should be able to break off a slice of that, though, right? It doesn't seem like
it's
hard.
Right? It's not like these people are, like, particularly talented or charismatic.
Yeah, we've been dumbasses, like, honing a skill for several years.
We fucked up so bad.
It's pretty dumb.
But, so she apologized, and she basically said, like, I had to start eating meat for health reasons, which is, like, really funny for someone
Not helping, I don't think, probably.
Yeah.
No, I only started doing it because my whole ideology is bullshit.
Exactly. Like, that's what seems, like, crazy. It's like, she was basically like, I went to the doctor, I had stopped ovulating.
You've got to start eating meat right now. Vegan lifestyle
I want to promise everyone in the future, if I eat non-vegan, you will not see on a video, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to be clear with you guys.
But it's like... That, yeah, it's like your whole thing is supposed to be like, look how healthy I am because I'm plant-based.
When in reality, you're just that Futurama where it's like, we train this lion to only eat tofu, and then it's just like gray. Like.
Exactly. So, yeah, she was having all these like digestion problems, like intestinal problems, which makes sense because I feel like I said, eating a bunch of raw vegetables, like that, it's...
Can't be great.
It's not like wonderful for your intestinal tract, I don't think.
Right.
It's a lot of roughage. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
You're consuming a fair amount of pesticides if that's your whole diet.
Also that, yeah. But yeah, so she basically
pesticide's not vegan either.
Pesticide is not vegan.
Think about it.
Yeah, so she just is canceled now, I guess. Because she went to Bali and ate fish.
No, she's going to make a hard pivot right, like comedians.
She's going to be like, she's going to end up on
Owen Benjamin's podcast.
She's going to start uploading 4-hour long videos questioning basic things about certain genocides that took place in the past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is, if you're on YouTube.
Like with meat. Like the meat version of making that hard pivot, right? Where she's just like eating only beef.
Yeah, she's like a primal paleo person now. Because there is like a meat grift you can do that's like similar. And I feel like if you're a YouTube health person, you know it. You are grifting people in some sense of... Like there was another one of these like raw vegan people who like there was a picture of her wearing leather shoes and people were like, oh my God! Like,
this is a kill. This is a wound. This is a kill. This is my YouTube channel. There's like smash the like button and subscribe.
Yeah, so that's what she's going to do now. She's going to go on Forge and Fire and just, like, go fucking nuts.
Chopping sides of beef.
Yep. You can totally do that, especially if you're, like, a sexy lady. I feel like if you're cooking, like...
Do anything you want.
Big turkey legs, you know? Getting people riled up.
You just got to find your angle. That's it.
Yeah.
Just find... people want to look at you. Just get it done.
There's always stand-up comedy, too.
That's true.
Oh,
that's the important thing to remember. You can always just try stand-up for the first time.
Yeah.
She's going to start doing stand-up, probably. Not enough stand-up bits about vegans. We need more.
That is true. Fresh, uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get in here,
that's a Brucey territory.
Tim Allen's working on it, but he can only provide so much genius.
Hey, it's true.
Being hot and telling jokes about being vegan, that's Micah Brucey's bit.
Right? Yeah. Baby! The sexy boy.
Yeah. Well, so that's, I guess that's a good place to call it, huh?
Ravana, come on the podcast.
That's right. We definitely will treat you fairly.
Raw yeah. meat.
We actually, we will, because we're big time chickens and would just be nice. I think.
That reminds me.
Big time headless chickens in boxes.
Before we go, I would like to give a shout out to my pal Alex in Austin, who was at the same restaurant as Alex Jones on a date last night and went up and called him a shithead before he left. So,
was Alex Jones on a date?
Yeah. Alex Jones was on a date.
God damn it. Were they both on dates?
I think he was.
Were they on a date with each other?
Is this a date? What are we? I've seen the documents. I'm fragile. I can't get hurt again.
Yeah.
So he was just like, hey, Alex. I was like, yep. You're a piece of shit. All right, well.
What do you feel? Nothing.
Well, Alex Jones is probably having a great day today.
Yeah.
Too bad. That's, well, good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out. That's respectable. God. Now, yeah, is Alex Jones just doing what are we? I can't keep doing this.
I will get to the bottom of this. Yeah. What is the nature of our relationship?
I can't keep doing this.
Also, I only ordered soup. You had like a full meal. I feel like I shouldn't have to pay for the whole thing. I only eat soup.
You had two Cosmos. I had one Lone Star. Is he a teetotaler? Seems like he could be a guy who
I wouldn't
drink.
Be surprised. I have no idea. He's either a drunk or a teetotaler or nothing in between.
That's right.
Yeah, no question. Anyway, thanks for joining us, pals. Thanks for joining us, JP McDade.
Thank you. Luke, you got any little skits?
My little skits? I should be doing my little skits. My tap dancing. It's all on the Twitter there, at JP_McDade or McDade Baby on Instagram.
Yeah, if you get the chance to see JP, he is super funny.
Real good.
Thanks. These guys are hilarious. Go see them do live comedy whenever they do it.
Well, if you want to see me, speaking of plugs, We got the Patreon. If you like this, check it out. We got the TeePublic, which I think by the time this comes out, the sale will be over, but there will be another sale soon.
You guys have good T-shirts.
We do. We kind of want to get some more designs. We're definitely soliciting designs if you like.
We totally are.
If you have any ideas, definitely send them our way, and we can see what we can do, because I think we like to diversify a little bit.
The thing is, like, we really like putting up T-shirts, and I feel like there are a lot of good ideas, but the problem is that Eli is the only person with, like, good graphic design skills. Yeah. So it's like, hey, I'd love to put up more T-shirts. Eli, do you want to do some more work? Feel bad about it.
Get to work, pal. Check that out. We'll have a link in the bio or the episode description for that. Give us a review on iTunes if
please
you
do.
Want.
Five stars, please. Thank you.
What else do we always say? Do we say, is there anything else that we normally say?
I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. You say the exact intro of the podcast, but in reverse order of words.
That's in the red room we say that. That's after this.
Yeah.
I'm patting out on the stuff. There's no Karma this week, but come to Karma if you want. It's fine.
If you want a hookah.
Yeah, there'll be promo. It's Bad Karma Comedy on Twitter.
I have
Cat does 10 shows.
I have a couple coming up, and I can't remember when they are, so check my Twitter. But I have two other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal. We just did an episode about the pyramid scheme LuLaRoe. That's pretty fun, so check that out. We had Sasha Zazi.
Wait, that turned out to be a pyramid scheme? Okay, I'll listen to the podcast.
I also have WrestleSplania about pro wrestling, and that is very exciting because WrestleMania weekend is in New York City this year, and we are going to be watching WrestleMania at Queens Brewery. We're doing Splania Mania. It's going to be really fun. The dudes from Street Fight Radio are going to be there. A bunch of our friends are going to come do commentary with us. There'll be a few wrestlers there selling merch and stuff, so it should be a really fun time. That is April 7th, starting at 5 p.m. You can get tickets bit.ly/SplaniaMania. They're $5 online. They'll be $8 at the door. And check my Twitter for other dates.
Cool. Patreon.com/WhatATimePod.
I said that before. Patreon.com/WhatATimePod.
Okay, guys.
Patreon.
Well, bye, everyone.
See you next week. Bye.